Good looking.
That's the way. Hey, man, thanks so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Congrats on the new album, You'll Be the Death of Me. This is a really unrelenting album, I guess, is the great way to put it. Like, for six tracks, you just, the foot's down and you're going flat out until we get a little bit of reprieve on the album. I learned that you've become a little bit more personal with your writing, and I wondered how hard that was to try and bring that out of you. And was it a real motivator for this album being a particularly dark one?
I think it's just evolution. You know, I'm just a little older. Life happens. And so, I don't know. It's just things evolved. And so now it's, and even just being comfortable doing what I do, it's like I've getting more at ease doing this. It's still not, you know, everything's still weird for me because I'm an oddball. But yeah, it's just getting more comfortable in doing this and being around people and everything. And so, yeah, just I was able to delve a little deeper and actually spit some of this out. And it's a little odd to expose yourself. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is.
I think a lot of people would find that very strange to hear, given how long you've been writing and performing for in front of thousands of people, that people would learn that this is still, you know, not easy for you to do.
Oh, yeah, it's not natural. I mean, do I enjoy it? Sure. But it's getting in front of people and publicly speaking and everything, you're not meant to do that. It's not a normal thing to get in front of 1,000 people and perform. So it's just very strange. But also just exposing. I mean, I've always written about, you know, things I've experienced and all that. But yeah, it's this was just a different process. And I think it's just because, you know, I'm in this state of evolving or something.
I love this. I love the fact you're like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just doing it.
Honestly, yeah. It's just I've gotten more consistent with things and that's helped. You know, I've gotten a little older, been able to open up a little easier with it. That's helped. So I guess that's, I don't know. Is that a good answer for why the album's dark? I don't know.
I love it. I love it, man. It's so good. I think it's a really challenging thing for any artist or songwriter to do is to, like you said, you will write from experience. That's in this much space. But then to cross over into yourself is a really difficult thing to do. And as you said, to expose yourself like that takes a lot of courage, I think. And I really admire people that do it. There's a band here called Drown This City. An amazing band, and the lead vocalist Alex has just done that same thing with their EP, and it's raw, but it is beautiful. Like, you listen to this, and you can feel it in every moment of every song.
Yeah,
and it makes to me it's the difference between fiction writing, or even not non-fiction writing, but then really ripping your chest open and you know and letting people see in. So,
yeah, it's I always try to emote when I'm performing or anything, but yeah, this was something where it's because of everything that happened with us and, you know, just individually and to get it, like, okay, I'm writing and some of this is coming out personal. Well, okay, I'm going to really try and put feeling into this. Like, I want you to feel what I'm feeling. And so, yeah, I just didn't realize it would go as dark as it did, or just there is a it's emotionally intense. That's what I would like to call that out.
Yeah, maybe dark is the wrong thing because that can insinuate that it's evil and stuff like that. No, this is, I guess, raw is probably a better way to put it.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's like I'm not a behemoth. We are not. Mad love for Behemoth, but yeah, it's just this is a it's emotionally. It's a ride. Mm. Yeah. And so I remember getting, when we finally got done, like, wow, this album is taxing. It's like, you listen to it. It's heavy. I mean, it's emotionally heavy. So it's like the emotion we wanted, I think we got out of it.
Yeah, I think so. And when I listen to new albums, something I like to do is listen to it, let it sort of wash over me, but then I will listen to it again while I'm doing something else and see what kind of pokes through the distraction. And there was a couple of moments on this album, Wilting in the Light, I think it was the riff in that and your part where you're going over and over again, it dragged me back in. What can you tell me about that song? Because it really affected me.
Yeah, that was also one of the first ones that got recorded, and just hearing that riff, I'm like, okay, didn't expect to hear that. I'm like, it's just a cool sound. Yeah. And Fran's writing is he's just an interesting guy. I've never met anyone like him. Mm. And I knew I had to write something that fit it appropriately. It's like the song is cool energy, but also it's just there was something there. So I'm like, I have to write what matches the music. So that's just that's where my head is all the time.
And speaking of Fran, he went through his own struggles ahead of this, and you stayed at his house. I read that as well. And yeah. We'll get to the Terrence Trent D'Arby story shortly. But do you think that staying with him really just cemented your relationship as friends, not just as musician mates?
Yeah, that definitely helped. But even just over it's been like 7 years we've been working together. It's just Francesco, Ryan, and I, we've just grown tighter. And I think it's because we have a lot of similar interests. We've gone through so many ups and downs individually, together as a band. And we're just like, if it's going to be us, we're going to see this through. And that's the thing, when you don't have anybody else, there were so many moments where it was just the three of us. We're like, what are we going to do now? Mm-hmm. And to get to this point, it's very fulfilling. But yeah, to be with Fran and see him going through all the stuff he went through. And I said, I was having my own version of hell at the same time. But just watching him go to physical therapy and dozens of doctor's appointments, and it was madness. So yeah, I think all of our frustration and everything, it came out in the music.
Yeah, nice. Another track that sort of made me feel this way was Something Deep Inside. It feels triumphant, like an awakening, an overcoming of doubt, perhaps. Was that something that you drew on from Fran, or your own experiences and your own, as you mentioned, your own stuff that you had to get through?
Yeah, it's just kind of what life is. It's like there's all that, there's some turmoil in what I wrote, but at the same time, there's always a little bit of brightness. And I've always been fascinated with darkness and light. That it's still just fascinating. That the duality, that dichotomy in people and in myself, is just like, I love figuring out or questioning, what is this? Why do we do the things we do? And especially when it concerns, like, you know, people you're so close to and care for. And it's like, how do these things? I'm fascinated by that. So it's kind of what I write about.
Do you often think when you guys are writing, or maybe it's after you've done the album and you listen to it back, do you get points like I do where I listen to it and I go, can you imagine this song live when the world opens up again? Can you imagine the response to this one? And it was Living with a Ghost, with that huge heaving middle part that'll absolutely get a crowd just, you know, going absolutely nuts. Do you have those moments, or is that just from a fan's point of view that I think of that? Because I know you just mentioned before that you feel weird about being, you know, it's still strange to be out there in front of thousands of people.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely weird. Still enjoy it, but weird. Yeah, if it crossed my mind, it's usually gone because I have to do something else. And so I'm always just like, okay, what's next? And so, yeah, if there's some moments on the album that gets the pit moving.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely going to be one of them. Denying the Sin is a song that I've come back to three times, which usually means that's my favorite on the album, and I'd love to know more about that. Do you find that you gravitate towards certain songs once they're all done, or are they all kind of your favorite children?
Yeah. I mean, I think like it's if it made the album, then I'm happy it's there. that's honestly how I think, especially because like Fran's very prolific. He will write anything. I'll get 25 to 40 demos for an album. So just getting through all of that. Yeah, that's Francesca. Yeah, I've never met anybody like it. I respect few people on earth like I respect that man. Wow. And just he is a machine. So for he did all that writing, did every bit of the artwork while going through all that stuff physically. He's just a different sort of guy. I forget where I was.
And I was asking about Denying the Sing, the song in particular, but yeah.
Right. That one, it was just a fun, like, just the energy in that song was fun. And yeah, it was one where I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I'd listened to it, and it's one that I just ended up setting aside. It was like, something's going to come with that. I'm not going to sit and work on it for hours and hours. When it comes, it comes. I don't know how I know that sometimes, but that was just one of those times when I'm going to be feeling it. And it's just, you know, so I went on and writing other stuff, and eventually I listened to that music and I think I need to write this now. And that was it. And yeah, it's just a fun song. That is a very fun song for me.
That's a really interesting thing to hear, because you say that Fran is such a prolific musical writer and artist. And do you feed then off the music to write, or are you someone who just will constantly scribble lines down or thoughts or anything like that?
Yeah, I try to write every day just so that muscle's being used. It can be a big switch to turn off. You know, like when you're performing, you're doing all this. Oh, now I have to be creative. So I try to write all the time. And so got all this stuff that I never use because I don't know why I should be mining it for. I mean, I may use a little bit, but 99% of the stuff that I have written down, I just write actively with that out. I don't try and transplant. Just doesn't seem to work like that. I don't know why. I just don't. It's interesting because he really does write a lot. And so then it's just, you're going through so much music, and it's just hard pinpointing what you want to sink your teeth into. That's such a great problem to have.
Yeah, I bet.
Gosh, I can just keep talking. So I should probably stop.
No. This is why we're here. I love to, it's interesting to find these things out and how the process works. So we've gone from Fran being an absolutely prolific writer to cooking your dinner one night at his house and then coming up with the idea that you should cover Terence Trent D'Arby, Sign Your Name.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a conversation in itself. I read that you guys spoke about it briefly, and then did you kind of go, oh, maybe this is not going to happen, and all of a sudden he's come up with the music and there it is.
Yeah, that is exactly how it happened. It was us hanging out, having dinner. Believe he was making his carbonara. He's Italian.
Yeah, of course.
So he was making his wife and I and him dinner. You know, we're hanging out. We're listening to a playlist of music. I think we had probably taken a break from playing a video game or something like that. So we're listening to a playlist, and Terence Trent D'Arby came on, and he asked if I liked the songs. Like, oh yeah, grew up on this. You know, just it was on MTV all the time. And yeah, and you never know what he's heard, because in Italy they don't get everything that we listen to in the States, just like in Australia. You guys just don't get it. Like, you guys weren't really big on Journey, which is crazy.
That's true, yeah.
that's crazy. So it's just funny how the world's kind of separated at times with certain music. Mm. So the fact that he knew that song was great, and it's like, hey, we should cover that. Really? I guess we could. A couple days later, he handed me music. I went, wow, you were serious. So, yeah, just listen to it. And I'm like, man, your interpretation of this is really cool. And so I just listened to it a bunch, got some ideas. I'm like, let's give it a go.
That's
and
awesome.
It was a cool way to end the album, because the album is kind of heavy. So it was a fun way to end the album.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a great version of the song too. It's not too far removed from the original, but it's a great interpretation of it. And it's fun to sing. as well. You know, it's such an iconic song.
Yeah. Can you believe that man, what was he, 20 or something like that, when he wrote that song and played almost every instrument on it?
And his voice is, yeah, next level as well.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. He was amazing.
One of the things before I let you go is I wanted to touch on the fact that I only just discovered not so long ago, maybe earlier this year, that you'd teamed up with Jared Dines to create a thing called Scion, and I heard The Blade, and I went, what, who, when, how, who, where? And I just went, I can't believe what I'm hearing, and played it on the show, of course. And I thought, I'd love to get Jared or yourself on to talk about this, because it, for me, I mean, it's probably something that's been brewing for you guys for a while, but for us here, it was like, how did those two, when did this happen? Like, how did it happen?
Well, Light the Torch, it went on tour with Trivium, and Matt, his wife was pregnant, and so he had to leave the tour. And so Jared came in to fill in a guitar, and I think I was doing 9 songs in the set, you know, after a Light the Torch set. So just hanging out a bit and getting to talk a little bit, because I hadn't watched his videos or anything. What do I do online? Nothing. I just don't. But yeah, it's just, he could play and just hanging out. He's a nice guy. And it's like, hey, we should do something down the road. It was just, I don't know why. I just decided to say, hey, we should do something. Yeah, why not? And it's like, okay, we'll keep in touch. And then I think it was, yeah, it was about a year. And then the pandemic hit, took a little bit of a break, just kind of figure out what's happening, what's going on in the world. Things settled, you know, kind of got into a bit of a routine, and like, hey man, we should probably start making some music. And he was down for it. And so that's one of the main things I got to do during this pandemic. I ended up flying way more than I thought I would. I pretty much worked the whole time. So just doing different side projects and having an album to focus on, is when I write an album, I get obsessed and don't watch much and don't listen to music. I just focus, and that really helps the time go by, because I can't help it. It's, I dream about the demos and vocal parts, and I barely sleep as it is. So it becomes a nightmare, but I absolutely love it. I can't stand what it does to me, but at the same time, I got to do it. It's still, walking into a studio and walking out with something is still just something I get goosebumps. I love it. So anyway, getting to do this with Jared, and it's just been a blast. So yeah, we're basically just tightening up the, I think I demoed something like 15 or 16. I think we narrowed it down to 12. Wow. And so we're just kind of tightening it out all.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear more of that. And if you don't sleep too much, are you someone who keeps a notepad by the bed, or do you have your phone ready to record a melody that you hear? Like when you say you dream about it, is it that intense where you go, geez, I've got to get this down now?
Yeah, I'll definitely write lyrics. Yeah, my phone's just the notes. That's literally what my phone is. It's for barely any phone calls, weird group text messages, like the one with like Chris Jericho and Richard Christie, where we talk about Striper all the time. But and just writing lyrics. As far as melodies, for some reason, there's this weird thing with my head. If I come up with a melody for something, I'll remember it. And so it can be 6 days or 6 months, and I'll have the lyrics, and oh yeah, I need to do, I'll remember. I don't know what that is, and I shouldn't trust that. I should actually record that stuff, but I've never done that with vocal melodies. I just remember. I don't know what that is.
That's pretty amazing, man, that you've got that ability. I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night with an idea, and I go, no, I'll remember that. It's so there. It's right in the front of your brain. There's no way I can forget this. Wake up, gone.
Yeah, that's the thing. Lyrics, yeah. I can't think of like words like, oh, that's a cool line. I'll remember that in the morning. No. But a melody, I still remember melodies from commercials I watched when I was 3 years old. they just stay in my head. That's me. I have no idea why that is, but it's weird.
That's a pretty good problem to have.
Yeah, it's sort of like I hate noise, so I don't like on my phone. I have no notifications, no texts, or there's no ringer on. When I sleep, I just wake up at 3 a.m. every morning. I have not used an alarm in well over a decade. It's just, there's weird things about me. It's just, I wake up, whatever area code I'm in, 3 o'clock, I'm waking up. And melodies, I remember them.
You're a strange man, Howard Jones.
Bingo.
And I am totally here for it, man. I don't want you to ever change. Thank you so much for the time. Congrats on the album. I'll be playing heaps of tracks from this when it comes out. Yeah, man, I really enjoy it. I love your work. I've been a fan for a long time, so it is great to spend a bit of time with you and discover more about you, and I hope we get to do it again soon.
Right on, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Howard. Have a great day, man.
You got it, bro.